Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinking Bros Podcast, kids. We got a raw animal on the show today. Raw animal.
I don't think I've been introduced that way before, but sure.
Look at you. Go to a single of him. Stay on this single of him. This is a madman that haunts your dreams. We got Chris Duffin on the show today. How many Guinness Book of World Records do you own?
Currently own one, but I've set several through the years. So, yeah.
And what, deadlift?
So the one I own right now is the most weight ever sumo deadlifted. I did 1,001 pounds, and the thing is I actually did it for reps. The reps don't count for the Guinness record, but, you know, just to make sure.
Yeah, you had to. Make sure. Yeah. How many did you end up doing?
I didn't lock out the third one, so it was only two, but, you know, nobody else is, well, actually,
pussy.
Let me take that back.
Pussy.
One other person has deadlifted 1,000 pounds for a double as well, and that's Thor Bjornsson, the guy from Game of Thrones. And
Okay. Well, so, I mean, look, tell Thor to switch on over to being a female, and then he can compete in the Olympics for New Zealand. I think he'll be fine. Just give him, what, 4 years? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know the rules, but yeah.
How do you think that's going to work out, by the way?
I think at some point people will come to their senses on stuff and we'll just, yeah, I don't know what else to think about, that. So
homeboy's going to win, right?
Let me ask you, because it's power. Is it powerlifting, Bob? I think it's powerlifting.
I'll look it up. But she did not finish first at either of the worldwide competitions.
I think it's they. Way to fuck it up, dude. It's fine. Whatever, but dude.
She did win all the regional ones.
Okay.
Like the Pacific Rim type of shit. But like once it went to Worlds, she got second and then sixth.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, so you got world class athletes. You know, they're going to come out on top, But
even if it's a female versus a former dude.
Well, it depends on what people's abilities were to begin with as well. I mean, tons of women can beat men all the time at things. It's just like they're at a higher level. So just because you're a man doesn't mean that you're going to.
Right. But besides cooking and cleaning. I'm totally kidding.
So, I mean, it's not like she was, she's very good because of that background. Because people don't understand, it comes down to a lot more than just testosterone levels. There's a lot of things that over time that you just can't take back. That's just the reality of it. So, obviously, you know, you should be able to compete, but find the right platform to be able to do it in as well. So, like, I'm fully supportive of anybody who wants to make those changes, so anybody who wants to compete in athletics, but you shouldn't take away the opportunities of someone else as well. Just like, you know, like for me, like I abuse steroids, right?
So you personally?
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah. Still not to anymore. This day?
No, no.
I was going to say, but you have anything on you?
During my, what's that?
You have anything on you?
No, all no. Right. So, but, you know, like I didn't compete in arenas that tested those.
Sure.
Like, so, you know, that's just my view on things. So,
well, when you were doing steroids, did you break the record on steroids or were you clean?
I was using them. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Great. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Look, we say this on the show all the time. Steroids make you a better human. I just want the right cocktail. That's it. I want the easiest cocktail of all time.
There's a lot of negative ramifications that come along with
it. Is there? Look, you're a world-class lifter and all this other shit, right? And having done steroids, what is it? Because nobody's ever been honest about it, I don't think, on a show.
As far as, like, what...
Steroids.
What part of honesty?
What was the negative, like...
Oh, the negative?
For you personally, yes. What was the negative aspect?
So, the negative aspect, you can see it in your blood work. So you'll start seeing changes dropping in HDL levels, rise in cholesterol levels, rise in liver enzymes. If you start doing, studies, you'll more in depth, you'll see plaque build up on main arteries towards your heart. Mm-hmm. You'll see hypertrophy of the left ventricle oftentimes. So these things are going to lead to cardiovascular health issues and potential early death. So there's just a lot of like changes that happen, and you need to know how to manage or mitigate those changes and things that you can't take back as well. But as a whole, like today,
was it worth it?
If your livelihood depends upon it,
yeah.
I think that it's something that you may want to consider. For me,
yes, that's what I want
to
hear.
But not for most people. Like, but if you're like 35 to 40, 45, and you're looking and you look at your test levels and they're like at a level and you're seeing negative in your life, like mm-hmm. let's say, sex drive, energy, mood, and then it's tied to that as well. It's pretty typical for men to have really low testosterone these days, almost half of what we did in the 1950s, in fact. And so that's where like a low dose of testosterone to support that is actually going to enhance the quality of your quality
life.
Of your life.
Yeah, dude.
So let's understand those distinctions.
Yeah.
Because I don't like, and the worst thing, like, yeah, you should not like, there's no reason massive anyone should be using them. Honestly. I mean, it's like, you know, if you got a career that depends upon it. Yeah. But also you make sure you got a doctor and you got the resources to be able to manage it appropriately. And I think that's about as far as like I don't want to focus on that, but I'm open.
Fuck
about
you, dude.
I'm
We're talking about it talking all about it, goddamn so. Night. You've got to. What time's your flight tonight?
Fuck you, man. No, we're not.
What time's your flight tonight?
5:40.
Yeah, dude. We're gonna talk about it for the next 5 hours. Then.
No, we're not.
I'm
no,
totally
not.
Kidding. But because I'm glad you brought up the testosterone thing. I actually before the show, I just went and got a T-shot this morning. A good buddy of ours, Dr. Frank, out of the Frank Institute in Wilmington, North Carolina, was the one who sat me down because I was going through some changes where I was like mentally, I just was fatigued. And it It wasn't sex drive and things like that, but it was like just this mental fatigue.
Brain fog. Yes, dude. And just like the down. Like so that's how I got. So I was 33 and I had this issues going on. I went and did my test. And so you're familiar with the levels.
Yep.
I was at like 129.
Ish.
Yeah, bad. Now, it was probably a part of it was self-imposed because I was like pushing myself so hard. I was trying to set all the records in mm-hmm. the drug tested arena. And so my doc for a couple years, so from like 29, 30, sometime in there is when it started testing really low. They're like, you need to do this because actually they're so low, it's a health issue and you might like die even early from it because they're so low. And I'm like, no, I can't do it because I'm going to set these records. Yeah. So I stayed not using it until I was 33, set those drug tested records. And then when I was using it, I could still technically compete in some federations because they'd be like, if you provide this and you test at a certain level. But I'm like, I don't think that that's right. So I'm like, I'm just going to go compete in the non-tested now.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, if I'm going to do that, then I may as well use a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
So that's how I arrived there.
Yeah.
Now I'm back to the TRT because I'm kind of retired from doing all that stuff. So,
yeah. I get TRT not for lifting, obviously, although quality
of life, right?
Yes, quality of life. Yeah. For me personally, and more or less that brain fog, like,
yeah.
And just there was some like. I don't know. I felt crashed all the time.
It's like it's almost quite like a depressed yes. feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. everything. And I told this story on the show. And we actually had the doctor on the show because he changed my life. This guy, Dr. Frank, I actually had him on the show to talk about it. And I was like, dude, I could not figure it out. And I went to like a million, you know, family physicians and all that shit. And they were like, well, your testosterone level is fine. It was like 401 or something, right?
Yeah.
But they don't tell you the low is like 400. And you're like, if you're below 400, you're fucked. And I was like, yeah, well, yeah. What the fuck, dude?
You know, but if you've got money and you walk into an anti-aging clinic, you can get that and some growth hormone and some peptides.
Yeah.
Which is pretty ridiculous because then all your TV personalities and your politicians and all these people that are, you know, trying to push political stuff that are anti that stuff are actually using it themselves, but they feel fine because it's doctor approved.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally, but the athlete over there that isn't, or the woman that we just talked about is okay to use that stuff, but, you know, or the other way around when that happens, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But the person whose livelihood depends upon it,
yeah,
to see what that is not okay, or you, they're going to push you like to not.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's affecting your life.
Yeah.
It's a complex thing, but it's there's so much hypocrisy in so many areas that it's not okay for you, but it is it's a right for these other for other areas and other things, like, or if you've got money, it just doesn't matter.
It doesn't. And I just had this, it's funny, man, I just had this the HGH discussion with a doctor friend of mine a few days ago. And I said, at what point do you start doing HGH? Because I don't know about you or your experience or if you've ever had any experience with it, but everybody who uses it says the same thing of like, dude, it basically stops the aging process and you don't have to work out as much. You can kind of eat what you want and blah, blah, blah. Is that not
people
true?
People over speaking, yeah.
Is it?
No, the research does not show that.
And is it shots, what, every day for HGH?
I believe they do it every day, yeah.
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 And I hate needles. I want to go to... Let's just get some pill form shit. You know what I'm saying? I want to go back to the old school shit that they don't have anymore. Best time of my life, workout wise. And I wore this shirt for you today, by the way. Schwarzenegger.
Nice.
Yeah, when I competed, obviously.
Of course.
I'm kidding. Yeah. I did not. Best time of my life.
You didn't have to tell me that, but you know.
I probably did. I mean, I'm a giant man. And you know that when you walked in. I think
you're right.
You stopped. And you go, whoa, dude, what the fuck?
Dude, I bet you could probably could have deadlifted 480 pounds in your heyday.
And I did. That was the most. And it's not even half of your shit.
It's actually pretty good. It is pretty good.
We were joking about it when we went on air of like, what's the most I've deadlifted? 480 was it. And it took everything in me. And that was one rep. Yeah. And that was college. I'll tell you what was involved in that. There was, do you remember Andro?
Yeah.
Andrew Stenity, and yep. They used to sell it at...
you could buy it at Albertsons.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That was Mark McGuire's beef of choice.
Yeah.
And mine as well. Because I wanted to be a little home run hitter like him and Sammy Sosa.
It was just down at your local grocery store. It's crazy. Dude, it was crazy.
That and then Rip Fuel. Do you remember Rippers? Rip Fuel?
Oh, was that like an ephedra product or something like that?
It had a bodybuilder on the bottle. And
that's all you know.
Rip Fuel. Yeah. And it was, you took that. You wanted to rip the face off your own grandmother, and then and it would shrink your dick, and you'd be so fucking jocked up for a workout. It would take me like an hour to come down from that shit. And then that eventually went away where they were like, that's going to kill you. You're going to have a heart attack on this shit doing rippers. But with HGH, you know, a lot of people in Hollywood, and I know you've worked with a lot of people, and we'll get to them, but like Dr. Dre, for example, or Tyler Perry, both of them were on the list for using HGH with this one doctor who had gotten popped.
Okay.
Stallone as well. We had Stallone's.
No, it's pretty common in with the anti-aging clinic. So a lot of the stars or people with even just, you know, people with money or whatever that they'll be using that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially California, Florida. It's pretty, it's pretty common in those crowds.
I wanted to ask you your take on it, because as it becomes more and more common, because like I said, my doctor, Dr. Frank had it in Wilmington. And I think he said the quote was $1,200 a month. It's pricier than TRT.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's not worth the money.
No shit.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
I think just your TRT is the way to stay.
Okay.
So stay at a level, that, is comfortable, you know, don't drive it up, cause you'll get an estrogen response and other stuff. Like what you want to do is your minimal effective dose. What's the minimal amount to be able to have the quality of life that you want? And so pushing things up will end up leading to the body's always trying to compensate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, trying to push things that don't come naturally to it is going to create problems of some sort or another over time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's great advice, because you don't get the right answer from people usually, where you're like, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Because the other one is Somerlin, but those are injections as well.
God, which?
Into the stomach.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I can't remember off time what that name, the base is. So.
Yeah. It's I know it's for fat loss and like, you know, or for weight loss. And it's 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And they were like, it's just a little tiny needle like insulin. Mm-hmm. And you can just put that, pop that in or whatever.
It sounds like maybe a peptide, so a fraction of growth hormone or something like that, that is just the lipolysis maybe component. So
yeah.
They have, you know, different segments of stuff that they pop off, or different amino acid. So that's what peptides are, is different amino acids and things that have different effects. So like the fat loss ones stimulate the lipolysis process, mm-hmm. which so HGH has a small effect on that as well, but they have fragments and stuff of things that do different things. But again, you're going to get 95% of what you need just from what you're already doing.
Gotcha.
And the rest is like maybe a little bit more, but you're going to spend a lot of money on it.
All right. It's great advice. You work with The Rock, right?
Not directly. He uses our bars. So he has them in all his locations. Because anywhere he trains, you know, there's going to be one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you guys see a huge, he's natural, by the way, but, right. There's nothing.
Totally kidding. I don't know what other people do. So yeah.
I asked, Stallone's trainer when he was on here, Gunnar Peterson.
Yep.
Big fan of Gunnar.
Gunnar's a friend of mine too.
Oh, is he?
Gunnar
great
has,
guy.
Gunnar uses our stuff too.
He's fucking hilarious, dude.
He is a comedian. Yes.
Really, really funny. Yeah, one of the best interviews I've ever done. And with Gunnar, I was like, I kept talking to him throughout the show, trying to get him to say Stallone did it. And I was like, hey, this is Sly. He did the HGH. He was like, you know, I don't know what it is. And I go, Gunnar, there's literally, he got stopped in a fucking airport in Australia trying to get HGH on a plane. And he goes, all right. You know? but when you see guys like The Rock using your workout equipment and shit like that, like, do they reach out to you, and or do you reach out to them and say, hey, I'll send you some more shit?
No, I don't. You know, those individuals, like, they're not up for like pimping your stuff to get a free bar or whatever. Like, they want to use the best stuff. They're going to buy it. And that's what they do. They don't, they're not going to want to ask for a handshake deal for, you know, something like that. And that's totally fine. Like, I don't have the money to pay for endorsements for guys like that.
Yeah,
like,
right. It's crazy.
I'm just like, hey, that's freaking cool. That's in his, you know, I'm like, oh, they just ordered another one. Look, it's in an Under Armour ad. It's, oh my God, check that out. It's there. But, you know, the general population looks and they don't even know what it's not like they see it and go, oh, that's so-and-so.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it's cool, but yeah, people that already, the only people that are going to recognize it are the people that know our stuff anyway, and
sure.
It validates what they already know. They're like, oh yeah, that stuff's good.
Tell everybody the name of your company.
Kabuki Strength.
Okay.
Kabuki. It's actually, well, kind of small somewhere on my shirt. I should have wore like a big giant label.
Yeah.
Kabuki Strength. But
are you the ones with the fucking monkey faces on the things?
No.
Who's that? Oh, that's on it. All right. That's the only one I see it on Rogan's feed.
Yeah, so. he's a shareholder with that. So
is he? Yeah. I heard he owned like half that company.
Yeah, so
yeah,
don't worry. You promote his stuff while I'm here. That's all right.
No, not at all.
Just kidding, man.
Look, shit. Rogan's rich enough. Throw that on a one. I'll tell the audience. Rogan is rich enough, dude. Support other people. Fine.
The reason The Rock, like, and well, 60% of, or sorry, 90% of all professional sports teams in North America, 600 plus colleges, any big name that you think of.
Ohio State?
Yeah.
No shit.
Everyone uses Kabuki Strength products that knows, like, they know movement. They know, like, the educated people, like, I make the best biomechanically sound, like, barbells and equipment in the world. So they allow people to move better and not have like the negative stresses associated with training hit them and be able to get a greater training effect just by having the joints in the right positions, being able to have their body in the right positions and be able to move better. That's why The Rock uses it, because he's torn a quad off. He's torn his calf off. He's done like major damage through the years, and it's the only bar that he can squat in. And so you'll see him squat with it, lunge, walking, stuff like that, because it allows him to do that. And so that's what our products do. So they're basic stuff that's been around forever, but reinvented in a manner that accommodates for variability in lever lengths, mobility restrictions, and just based like trying to shove everybody through the same process, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, like, you know, when you're a child and you got the little thing and you got like circles going this hole and triangles and this, and you know, in the strength training arena for a long time, it's like everybody does this way, and we try to shove them all through. And, we try to change that up.
Yeah, for sure. Did you guys see a huge windfall during COVID?
Yeah. So as people started.
Did you sell out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge trying to keep up with that. And we're honestly still, we're just starting to dig out of the hole from that. But now, of course, supply chain issues around the world are starting to populate. But it's
crazy, man.
That was one of the good things about that came out of this last year. Is so much people realizing that their health, it should be a higher priority. Like, and so we see a lot of people, you know, taking that on and trying to take ownership over it and building, you know, little few pieces of equipment in their garage or wherever, to be able to support that. And I think that's a really good thing.
Right.
That's going to affect people positively in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. And what I've noticed in particular, because I've got kids and we live in neighborhoods, you know, not out in the conch, like out in the country.
Yep.
So they can play with other kids. But I've noticed a lot of parents switch over and just not go back to gyms. Like they're building out their garages. They're building out their bonus rooms for workout rooms themselves.
I think in the future of like real estate, we're going to start seeing spec homes being built with an exercise room.
Oh, dude, they're already doing it now in Austin, man. Like, so when you go and look at houses, they've got the pictures of them on there and it says, perfect weight room, or you can use it as a nursery or whatever you want. But like most of the pictures on Zillow have a weight room already in them.
Well, I think that's one of the problems with the industry is like we've tried to have these gyms, these giant globo gyms that are one size fits all. But that ends up making it not be great because everybody has different needs and different environments that they need to be in to be. Mm-hmm. And we need to individualize that. And that's what our equipment does. It allows to rapidly individualize the equipment based on a person's needs. And so this is a kind of a good thing. So I see that there's a transition to more home gyms as well as smaller type facilities that are more specialized. They have the cultured or catered environment. So you're going to see like your MMA gym, your jujitsu gym, your Olympic lifting training center, your powerlifting, your yoga studio, you know, Zumbas or whatever it is. You're going to see a lot more of these smaller, you know, catered environments mm-hmm. than this giant globo that works for everyone, but sucks for everyone. It's just an environment that goes in and it doesn't motivate you, doesn't have the right, you know, like tools. It just, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. The, boy, I don't even know if I should tell him this on this show, but, I moved from a smaller town, Wilmington, North Carolina. The only thing that was there near my house was a Planet Fitness. So I had to work out at Planet Fitness every day.
I don't make judgments because
they don't either. Judgment free, brother.
No, they judge people like me, honestly.
It's the lunk alarm, dude. You can't drop weights and shit in there.
But, you know, as long as people have some aspect of physical culture in your life, like you need to, you know, have some challenge, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, like you need to be able to be pushing in that stuff. That's how you become, you know, a stronger and better version of yourself. That's how you develop resilience and strength. Well, strength is resilience. I like using the word resilience because it helps people understand like that it's not to have the big bicep or whatever, but that process, both body, mind, and soul, all of that allows you to be able to withstand the things in the future, the more challenges, the things that you don't know are going to hit you, and be prepared for them. I mean, that's what being stronger is, being able to overcome those things.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to push yourself a little bit, to challenge yourself in those environments, and then you come back like, oh, I can do that, and I can do a little bit more next time.
Yeah.
Right?
And speaking of challenges, I would have loved it if you would have brought in some of your equipment and gone against Delco Dan here in the studio.
Next time.
It would have been great.
Lift off.
All he does is deadlift. That's all you do. Pick up the microphone.
Yes.
All you do is dead. I don't even know if you do anything else, do you? Is it just deadlift?
I do a lot of legs, but ever since that, you know, that little meniscus tear, it's kind of set me back.
Yeah, you and Joel Embiid. What's both Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Both Philly.
Same guy.
Yeah. What's your max?
I haven't really maxed out.
You've never maxed out deadlift
like
ever in your life?
One rep max, no.
Okay.
No.
So for sets, what's your max?
425 for 5 reps.
Okay. Is that any good?
It's pretty decent. Yeah.
I mean, I'm 190 pounds.
No.
So,
yeah.
Are you really?
No, it's
Ross, I got a cut in here.
It is solid.
Yeah,
I just
give
it a hard time.
Over the last 20 years, the industry's really moved away from one rep maxes, and they've been doing supplemented maxes. So whatever you can do for 5, and then they'll average that out for your max. But
okay, gotcha. I agree with all that, by the way, because one rep maxes, like, you could really get fucking yayed up. You know, just toot down a fucking huge gator tail and then blast out like the best bench of your life. So that makes sense. I understand that.
Pure caffeine tablets is what the guys used to do at my college.
Yeah, yeah. Rip fuel. Yeah. Rip fuel. So like rip fuel, Jesus Christ, man. I could really tear through some shit. Yeah. But now, you
not
know.
Not the smelling salts, though.
No, not the smelling salts. We had that on the show. Is that a
I've never done it, honestly. I'm crazy enough as it is, so I don't need that. But that's really common.
Is there any more of them here? The company sent some, Schmaltz. They're not even a sponsor or anything, but we did them live on air.
Nice.
For an episode one time.
Yeah. It's really, really common in powerlifting. Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
No shit. Yeah. Because I was wondering, I was like, who are they making these for?
Yeah, people do it right before going for a max effort attempt.
They'll
hit the ammonia salts, go out.
Yeah.
I guess if you're already awake, it wakes you up even more. But I've never done it because I never felt the need.
That's funny, man. Homeboy Delco Dan lost his sense of smell when he got COVID.
Mm.
So he was able to do it like you were just sniffing a fucking fresh tulip, dude, at the Masters, right around the Amen corner. It's crazy.
Couldn't feel anything.
Can you still smell or no?
Not really.
No, you're out. No. Smelling salts isn't going to do you any good. Mm. And then you wrote a book, too, about...
Yeah. It's right there for me.
Are you really a best-selling author?
Yeah.
Same here.
Cool.
Same here, hombre. That's great. Tell everybody what the book's about.
So the book is... it's an autobiography, but I had a really crazy life. And so I try to share the lessons from that to drive people on a path of like introspection and understanding like your personal values and how to set goals from that. But yeah, I'll try to give you the elevator pitch. How's that?
Yeah, go ahead. Because so, I, you know, you had just come into town, and ironically, I was signing books for a giveaway here on the show, and I was like, dude, yes, let's get it on. Did you do this yourself? Did you have a publisher?
Self-published.
Yes, and yeah. I can't recommend that enough. We, dude, I'll say this over and over and over again, because we get a bunch of emails into the show and messages. It is okay to self-publish, man. It is the route, and all of that money goes to you versus your fucking agents and all that other bullshit. Even we had Malcolm Gladwell on like a month ago, 2 months ago, and he was like, dude, I don't even have an agent anymore, nothing. I do it all myself. Amazon has made it that easy that it's like, and it's 92% of your sales come from Amazon. So it's like, why the fuck not?
Most of mine come on the audio version because people really like that.
I just had the same thing I told him. Most of it now, my audio numbers are starting to even out with ebook, hardback, stuff.
My audio is by far the largest.
Tell everybody what the book's about.
Yeah. So it just chronicles, you know, my story, which is, yeah, I grew up homeless, and we're talking in the wilderness. So having to forage for food, kill animals, like, and this is in Northern California wilderness.
Why were you homeless?
It was a choice by my mother. So
super hippie or something?
Super hippie. Just didn't want to be part of society. And there's some other reasons behind that, but
taxes, weed, Humboldt County shit.
Definitely that. So if you ever watch the movie or the documentary Murder Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we lived 50 miles just north and a little off.
I fucking knew it, dude.
So when you watch that and reflect on like the people disappearing, serial killers, human trafficking, police corruption, yeah, that's it. Like I dealt with those personally growing up. Human trafficking affected my family. We were tracked by a serial killer. It was wild. I mean, but like at 6 years old, you know, we're living, you know, there's no roads. We're by a little stream and I'm being taught how to capture live rattlesnakes and handle them by hand. It's 6 years old because there was rattlesnake dens all around. Like our bedding was, we had beams lashed up in the trees and, you know, that's where we slept at night. And so it was, my living was kind of in and out of those situations, or during the school year, we'd be closer to a town. But have maybe a home that didn't have running water or electricity or either, might be a condemned, so on. It just kind of varied back and forth between that, basically all the way up till high school. The state took us for a while in California. Mm-hmm. And so when my parents got us back, I moved to Oregon, and they did get out of the drug trade because they're like, can't risk losing us again. So we ended up out in Eastern Oregon researching like geology and got into mining. So that's all we did was read and research. Like we didn't have TV, radio, stuff like that. So like the library was our friend. And my parents were definitely highly intellectual. Like mm-hmm. that was their gig. I mean, my mom was going to school to be a chemical engineer and was top of her class before she said, fuck society. But,
My dad was
a member of Mensa and blah, you know.
Do you look back at them and say, why did you say fuck society when you got kids?
There's just a point of like not questioning what my mom does to be able to have a relationship with. She still lives out in the Eastern Oregon desert, you know, doing her thing. And so that's the way she wants to live. And she's forged her own path. So
that's fucking gnarly.
Anyway, so that's the start of the story. And then it goes through, you know, what I learned in those processes. And then I ended up being able to get myself into college. And while I was in college, things fell apart worse at home because I was actually the one that kind of helped take care of the kids and things like that, either while earlier days while parents were, you know, growing their crops, later days while they're out like digging the mine. And things got worse. I was working on a dual engineering degree, and I ended up having to take custody of my sisters one at a time till I had all three of them, raised all of them through their teenage years while I finished out my engineering, got my MBA, and I was working all the whole time because I needed a support as well.
Sure.
And so that's a lot of the first half of the book is like understanding that you have control over your actions and responses to things, that and how to find your strengths and what, you know, what potential you can fly to in the world, and that you own that. So despite whatever trauma or things that have happened to you, you know, one thing that you can do is be able to use that to become that stronger and better version of yourself. So, I mean, this is the purpose of why I wrote the book, because all my companies are based around this physical aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, you need to have, you know, it's, you know, resilience of body, mind, and soul, like all three of these. And so I needed an area to touch on that stuff, which is my book. And so, this realizing your strengths and other stuff kind of continued on, which is, I ended up growing, you know, my, like I said, I was working through college and I started being really good in the leadership world. And next thing you know, I'm sought after for running companies and turning them around. So I'm running aerospace manufacturing companies, automotive, high tech, you know, maybe turning around a company, prepping it for sale and walking it through the process, growing a company from a regional to a national or international presence. So I'm doing this stuff. Oh, and I'm lifting weights the whole time too. Started right. that in 1988. And so I started competing in 2000. While I'm doing all this turnaround stuff, I opened my own gym on the side and I was competing. I was ranked number one in the world for 8 years straight at either the squat, the deadlift, or the powerlifting total, which mm-hmm. you're familiar with.
Yeah, yeah.
And
did it in high school, my man.
Yeah.
The 500-pound club.
So
Chattahoochee Cougars, my man.
Hey, it's high school, man. So
I was like 165, yeah. But yeah.
So that was, you know, that's that first half of the book. And the second half is the dragon. So, and where the names come from is literally like how much this impacts myself. So I have.
Yeah, because the name of the book is The Eagle and the Dragon.
Yeah, and the eagle is a 40-hour tattoo of an eagle across my stomach and my back that runs all the way down to my ankle where they're shackled. And it was something I had done at 19 years old to symbolize just that. And it's before I had like all this accomplishment saying, you can fly to whatever heights in the world. It doesn't matter. Like, you have the capability. The only thing holding you back at the end of the day is yourself. And so it's like using those experiences to leverage that. You know, you can't take away those things, but it's also not bad. And also knowing when you have the opportunity, like, turn into those challenges. That's your workout. That's your opportunity to learn how you respond and what you're capable of and to become a better version of yourself, right? The second half of the book is the dragon, and this is another tattoo I had done basically when I made the second transition, and this is this Ouroboros. So it's a dragon or a snake that runs around my entire upper body. You can see it on my arm here, but it runs around my arms.
Ben Affleck got one,
and,
too.
So it's a giant dragon here, and it's eating its own tail. It sounds a little graphic, but it's about the continual renewal of oneself, right? And so for me, it's this purposeful reinvention of oneself. So like deciding specifically who you want to be in the world,
right?
And becoming that version. And so here I am. I'm getting close to my 40s. I have a house with a white picket fence. I've got an amazing job that I make a lot of money and I'm sought after for. I've got a
wife, kids.
I've got a comfortable marriage with a friend that is no arguments and easy. Mm-hmm. Two kids. I've got a really nice retirement. I own a couple homes. I'm living the happy life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't it. Like, I'm not happy. And why is that? And so started reflecting. And like I said, I own the gym on the side. I was coaching. And I was really understanding, like, what drives me. Like, what are the things that I want to do? And also my capability. And I happened to be doing this weird thing where I was doing continuing education in the clinical world. Mm-hmm. And so I started becoming friends with some of the best people in the world, like the leading spine biomechanist, the most respected physical therapist, one of the great people that brought this whole form of developmental kinesiology to the U.S., like all these like key players. And like you said, I was friends with John Welp. Like I started developing these relationships there as the education progresses, and I'm actually start teaching with these people, even though I don't have a degree in this subject. Like I'm... You're bringing me into chiropractic and physical therapy schools and like, you know, these symposiums of like where it's only doctors speaking to doctors of and they're the best people. And it's like I'm up there and I'm like, oh, OK. But the reason was I started taking these approaches and figuring out how do we actually do this under load? How do I don't get into a rehab situation? How do I fix this while somebody's squatting or deadlifting or any basic like human loaded movement? And so started developing this philosophy around movement and loading, which a lot of it was so I could do some personal things that nobody else could be able to. I wanted to do things that nobody had been able to do. And I'm like, got to be smarter. Got to understand this stuff. And so that ties in here. So I'm doing this stuff and I'm like, in the world, I need to leave a mark. Like, I need to be able to leave this world better. And I know what my gifts are at this point. Like, I have the ability to get people out of pain, to help people live a better quality of life. Like, right now, I'm doing it just in the little bit of like YouTube videos I'm publishing online and other stuff. I'm like, people that I'm coaching at the gym, and that's what I enjoyed about the company turnaround stuff, is the leadership, like the being able to get that engagement out of people and that personal change that it brings. And I'm like, I need to do this, and I need like passion in every area of my life. And I'm like, I was getting burnout on powerlifting. Like, I was, you know, I own some of the all-time powerlifting records, but I knew I could do so much more, and I wanted to demonstrate the knowledge that I had and really inspire people to the next level, that they can do things that they just don't think is humanly possible. And so I wanted to demonstrate that, and like I said, also the inspiration. So demonstrate my methodology and inspiration. So it's a reason for this, I'm telling you this, which is I walked away from everything in my life at that point.
Marriage, kids too?
Not my kids.
Okay.
But yeah, I walked away from my marriage. I walked away from that career. I sold all my homes. I cashed out my retirement. I ran up every credit card I had to the max, and I personally took on millions of dollars in personally guaranteed debt. And I founded my company, Kabuki Strength. And soon after, I founded Barefoot Athletics, which is my
stand
shoe
up.
Company.
Yeah, go ahead. Boom, pop it up there.
It's a nice little this is a moccasin-type shoe.
Yeah.
But a lot of what I do is foot mechanics as well as spinal mechanics and breathing and stuff of that nature. Anyway, and then Build Fast Formula, which is the supplements I use, supplementation I use. Mm-hmm. So I quit competitive lifting, changed my marriage, changed a bunch of personal relationships, walked away from an amazing career, lost all my money.
Yep.
And so probably not, maybe that's a midlife crisis, who knows? But it was like,
how old were you?
I was 39, 38, somewhere right in there.
Yeah.
But I knew what I wanted to do. I knew the impact that I could have. And I'm like, I'm in. I'm going to do this. And within a couple of years, I built a globally recognized brand for education and equipment. So things that help people around human movement in living that life. So it's been, we talked about some of the people that use our stuff. I mean, that's pretty cool to have done in just a few year period of time.
For sure. Are you out of debt fully and everything else?
No. I still don't make what I made before.
Really?
But no.
But you're happier?
I'm happier. I work harder than I've ever worked before, but
it's weird when you own your own company, because you do end up working harder. So you think.
But I created more time for my family at the same time, because I spend probably 4 to 5 hours. So I end up finding love, which is great. So at 40 years old, I thought I was just going to be, you know, single dad or whatever, but
how old is she?
She's 31.
Okay.
So
there you go. You know where I was going with that. I'm like, yeah, you went younger. It's always smarter. I'm totally kidding. So my wife hears this, she'll be like, what the fuck?
So
bro?
She's just an amazing woman. But I, you know, anyway, I didn't see that coming. That sideswiped me. Like, I just thought I was going to just focus on my stuff and do my stuff.
Yeah.
I have a third child, an amazing relationship with the family at home, and I spend tons of time there. And my ex and I have a really good relationship. She lives about 5 minutes away. It's really easy with the kids
and everything.
Yeah.
Chris, you've been on podcasts before. We've got sponsors who pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost is ghostbed.com/drinking bros. 4th of July sale is here. Get wet, get hard, have another fucking baby, dude. These mattresses are so goddamn good. I think Casey Anthony will probably have another child right on this goddamn thing. So we'll see. She's been out and about lately getting arrested, so it appears as if she wants another baby, which is definitely not good for the world. But the deals at GhostBed are good for the world. Take advantage of all of their 4th of July savings there. British need not apply. That's right. Isn't that? That's the British that they beat in 4th of July? Ah, who gives a shit? We're using Chinese fireworks, beating British people. Fuck it. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. 30% off everything in the entire store. 40% off bundle packages. 2 free pillows with a mattress. And as always, they get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there, so you can bundle all of those deals together. And then, boom, walk out the door for like $35 a month with all your favorite shit. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and take advantage of dem deals.
I quit lifting as far as the competition. And I said, I'm going to just do what I want to fucking do. Like, I want to squat and deadlift a weight that nobody's done before and do it for reps to leave like no question in the take. I called it grand goals, like grand over the fucking top. And 1,000 pounds because it's grand.
Yeah,
it's grand.
Yeah. Like, obviously. You know, kind of, obviously.
Anyway. And so that's what I did on the competitive aspect. And yeah, it was, I basically reframed everything around in my life around having passion about what I'm doing and trying to leave the world better and pushing myself, but also making space for the more important things. I call it this like achieving balance. Mm-hmm. Not through moderation, but balanced by the extremes. Like, that's how you find, like, do things that are completely the dichotomy of opposite in most people's minds. You do that, and you're going to find this beautiful thing in the center, and it's also going to make you find what's not important and the waste of time, what you're wasting in your life, because it has to drop away.
Yeah.
So it's like the opposite of what everybody else tells you. But, man, it helps lead to more of an action book life. That's what I'm telling you. Like, oh, it's pretty, dude. Like, well, that's my way I want to live. So
same. And we do crazy shit all the time. I mean, shit. We have sponsors on this show, right, who pay for the show and everything else. But they have to be, like, things we believe in, right? Today, we're
going to stay true to that. Like, there's so many sellout stuff. Like,
oh, dude, we're going to do it actually on air today. So
I want to try it.
We've never done this before, but we have a new sponsor. They usually send us something and then we approve it if we like it or we think the audience has liked it. And I said, look, I have not had this yet. And I had a meeting before this and I go, I'm not going to have time. And then we're like, well, you can eat it live on air. And if it fucking sucks, you can tell your audience. And I was like, it's a bold move.
That's a bold move.
It's a bold move. This is Magic Spoon, grain-free cereal, 4 net carbs, 13... grams of protein, zero sugar, no shit. It's the calorie count, 140 for a cup. I know a bunch of people eat this all the time. I hear it on other podcasts, but I was like, dude, I have not tried it. So I said I would try it live on air, and if it sucks, well, sorry about it, but we'll find out. Bob, who are the other ones that have Magic Spoon?
Other what, podcast?
Yeah, Tim Dillon, some other guys. I've heard them say it.
Yeah, it makes the round in that genre of podcast. I guess
people love it. I said, look, I will eat it live on air, and we'll figure it out here. And if I like it, I'll read the promo code. If it sucks, then sorry about it. I don't really care.
Hey, we did that with one other thing. While you try that, I'm going to try something else.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. What do you got there? Ah, there it is, popping in for that bottle.
You were gonna have some too.
Away. Oh yes,
nothing
yes,
goes
I am.
With breakfast. Like. No,
and we got these nice Drinking Bros sports glasses here too that are custom, which is nice. Yeah. Look at that, boom. All right, so Magic Spoon. What kind is this? Cocoa, flavored with other natural flavors. Let's give it a gozies here.
It's like chocolate Oreos.
I'll be honest with you. Have you had it?
Chocolate Cheerios.
Have you had it?
Yeah, snack on it.
Oh shit!
My wife gets it.
Oh shit, dude!
Yeah, it's fucking good. I've had it in my house for like a couple months at this point.
How does it not have sugar in it? No sugars, Bob.
Higher fat content, but good fat.
It's good fat though, right? Yeah. Shit, dude. Total fat is only 7 grams. My God, you know more about the fucking health system than
I know. I know a little bit.
Yeah. Man, this is really goddamn good, actually. You ever had this?
I have not, but yeah, I'll pass
it on down the bunny trail there. Woo! Tell me what you think of that. All right, Magic Spoon, I see you, dude. Again. We never do shit like this. No, we did with one other product. Mm. Oh, we do with a seltzer, too, where I was like, hey, if I called my guy and I said, look, man, if this fucking seltzer sucks, I'll tell you live on air.
I'm going to try this.
This is really good, actually. All right. We'll do it. We will add them to the show, Bob. You can put it down. Let's see. Go to magicspoon.com/drinkingbros, and you can use the promo code drinkingbros at checkout to get $5 off of any order. That is magicspoon.com/drinkingbros. And remember to use the code drinkingbros at checkout to save $5 today. It says here that they're so confident about their products, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/drinkingbros. Enter promo code drinkingbros. I still have some in my mouth. It was really goddamn good.
Holy good. Shit. I think it's like keto friendly and shit.
So let me talk about this for a minute, because there's some good stuff that people wouldn't know. So they're using a milk protein blend. So this casein and whey together is actually what I highly promote. Whey alone, a lot of people use, and it's in and out of your system really fast. So whey and casein at the right mixture, and I don't know whether they have that in here, but based on casein being first, it's in that towards that right direction, will increase muscle protein synthesis for 6 hours and reduce catabolism, muscle protein breakdown, for 8 hours. So really great. The sweetener is monk fruit extract. So that's how they're sweetening it.
Okay. What does that mean exactly?
So it's a sweetener that isn't, that's how they're going with the no sugar. It's not a sugar base. So, okay. But monk fruit is pretty good. Now the oil blend is sunflower oil and avocado oil. So sunflower oil is an omega that is actually really, really beneficial. And a lot of people don't realize how it is because the studies they do are on foods that are cooked. And so it is it's in a different state and can cause some negative damage. But the omega-6s in sunflower oil and avocado oil is really beneficial. So as a whole, I would...
You're saying yes to Magic
Spoon. I'm saying this is a solid product.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We've never done that. And, geez, that could have gone horrifically wrong for Magic Spoon. But, Dan told somebody to fuck off the other day. That was really good. That was ballsy by Magic Spoon. I wouldn't have me do that. if I hated it, I would tell him to... Yeah. Man, all right. It was pretty good. Pretty goddamn good. I want to go back to you in the forest for a little bit, just because it's so fucking crazy. Were your parents like teaching you English and everything like as you're going along with books?
So, well, there's always small schools, a lot of like one room schoolhouses type arena, because we're living in towns of like 100 people or less. So people travel in. And so I went to school, but like education was really important. Like I mentioned, my parents were intellectuals, and like, that's what we'd go to the larger town to a library every couple months and just fill up with books. And it was reading by candlelight, flashlight. Like we didn't have radio or TV. And so, yeah, when I graduated high school, I was valedictorian. When I went to college, I didn't even buy books or show up to classes. I showed up because at that point it wasn't attendance based. I would show up and take the exam. I had the highest graduating engineering GPA. I did that because I was working full time because I needed to. And also it was my first like break of like being like, I had a lot of like, could you imagine like self-esteem issues and other stuff growing up?
Oh, when you're like growing up in the woods.
You're in town, your clothes are dirty. Your toes are sticking out the side of your shoe. You get a little older and you smell because you're not like, you got to step out the back of the house in the middle of the winter with a pot that you heated up on the stove so that you could, you know, dump and try to wash off really fast, you know, like, so
that's
I had a lot of, and I didn't have as much socialization as a lot of other people as well. So it's like, I had a lot of issues, and the lifting, you know, definitely helped me with that. But when I went to college, I partied hard. Once I like realized, hey, nobody knows anybody's background. I'm here just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Like,
where'd you go to school?
Oregon Institute of Technology. It's a small engineering school in Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
And I kind of got to be known for being, because all people knew is I didn't go to class and I partied a lot. So I was kind of like this goofball until like my senior year when they started realizing like, oh, you're like have better grades than everybody else.
Yeah. And you're not coming to class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as you go through college, you can get away with it at big schools for
it does,
3 years. So when you start getting in your major, that's when it counts. And they're like, hey,
I graduated in 3 years.
You did?
Yeah, with an engineering degree. So the last year I had just my senior project left and I was working on my second engineering degree. But
That's gnarly.
What I would do is I would go sign up for, I would sign up for classes, mm-hmm. and I'd get the syllabus. And there was two types of instructors. There's, they all had the same syllabus and all the same homework. But one instructor would have required homework and they'd be part of the grade. Another one have recommended homework. And I'd drop the class if it had required and I'd go to sign up for the other instructor the next term.
Oh, no shit.
And so I carried, you know, an 18 credit was be full time. I carried 19 to 21 credits every term, worked full time at 21 years old.
And finished in 3 years.
At 21 years old, I was working full time as a manager in a window and door manufacturing facility. I own my own home and I own my own business that I was running on the weekends. It was a paintball rental business and I had a retail store in town that I had partnered to have somebody else do the representation of the store piece. Yeah.
Are you still out
there?
And
I was raising my sister.
Yeah. So you didn't have anything going on, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then I drank way too much. So that that had to end.
Like, well, yeah. I mean, I can imagine, dude, growing up in the woods, and then you get to a college town, and you're just like, wait,
well, it opened, it, so it opened me up. Like, it was, until it got to the point it was too much. But it allowed me to, like, realize, oh, hey, like, I can interact with people. In fact, I'm a little charismatic. I'm like, oh, girls, like, that was a whole, like, it was quite a good experience for me.
Yeah.
And so there was definitely some benefits from it, but it got to the point, like, you know, my family has alcoholism that runs through it. I say this as I have a little bit of whiskey, but finished a 3-hour podcast before this, so I'm like, I'm gonna have
proud
a little,
of you. I'll join you with the red breasts.
I have a question about your got raging in college.
Yep.
So there's a kind of like, I don't know, proven's the right word, but when tribes or whatever came into contact with Western society, whether especially in like Australia, like the Aborigines and stuff, like mm-hmm. subsistence sort of living situations, like you, I guess, were in the woods to yep. an extent. When they come into contact with like excess things, like excess food, they don't have a, they an didn't grow switch. Up with a control yeah. situation. Yeah, an off switch. Was that with you a little bit with alcohol? Because that's why alcoholism runs in some of those native societies, is because they started out that way.
So, part of that, but that actually a big part of that is actually genetic. So they haven't had experience over generations that actually creates an enzyme in the body that starts causing people to have hangovers and ill feelings and side effects that actually reduce total alcohol intake generational. That's why like Italians can drink, you know, and anyway, it's so you're correct. But part of it is actually they are genetically predisposed. That really sounds non-PC, but it's right.
eugenicist.
It's, it's they haven't been exposed to it for right. you know, centuries, because it is something that actually builds up over time, not just in that. But I think there is something to what you're saying, though. 100%.
Like, Bob, and that's why I like
I chase to extremes. Like, yeah.
I can answer this question, Bob. Somebody in my family who was raised strictly, very strict. Got to college, lost their fucking mind.
We would see that quite a bit with the Mormons.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a thing. Like, there was a lot of Mormons in that town and the same thing. So, yes, there is a piece to that as well. I just felt like covering the genetic piece.
Yeah, for sure. So, dude, my college roommate, freshman year, so they stick you with some other kid, right? You can ask for a friend, but I was going to a school where I didn't have any friends from high school that were going to it. With that, the kid's name was Andy. I forget his fucking last name. Whatever. Grew up in Mount Vernon, Ohio, which is like a very, very small town in Ohio. And you get the card of who your roommate's going to be in the mail. And so he got it with mine. And mine said, like, Roswell, Georgia. And he was like, dude, who am I staying with? You know, he calls me. He's like, are you from some small town like fucking Hick from Georgia? Obviously, it was the opposite. I'm a goddamn animal and an Adonis. And it turned out he was from like a strict small town or whatever. And we got there and like he just fucking raged every night and was at one point he had slept 18 hours straight because he had partied too hard. And then he moved out second quarter. And so the next time I saw him, he asked me if I wanted to buy like 2 pounds of marijuana. And I was like, whoa, dude, how do you go from a small town selling pounds worth of marijuana? Yeah. And that's what it was. He didn't have any of that shit his entire life. gets to the biggest college in the nation and then loses his fucking mind.
So mine, I was surrounded by that stuff growing up.
Oh, you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that,
oh,
it's
well,
so,
shit.
So
that's,
it's,
you know,
I actually
think about it
never
way,
touched
yeah.
it in high school. And it was actually a year into college because I'm like, I'll go too far. I knew it. And then sure enough, I
with
did.
With weed?
No, I didn't really do weed.
Well,
I mean, I did for like 6 months in college, but all it did was make me like fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
And then I picked it up again in my late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-wife, you know, she comes up. She's like, you know, it's why don't we go get some weed? And
yeah.
I'm like, what? All that does is like make me fall asleep. And I'm like, my eyes open. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that sounds good. So we went on a weed kick for years. And then I actually didn't stop again until this last year when after I was done with the big squat, I'm like, I want to focus on health and longevity. Nothing wrong with weed, but it sure makes me eat a lot. And
yeah.
I want to be lean. And so I walk around and it sounds pretty shredded now. I'm like 7 to 8% body fat, pretty much all the time. And I couldn't do it. So I'm like, I'm just going to drop the weed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every now and again I will, cause you know, I'll go see my mom for Christmas and she'll put a pound of weed in my bag on the way home. So I have like massive amount of weed around my house.
Sure.
I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Like she just like,
the address
that's my,
here
by the way,
is
that's
1834 East Old Tour.
I have it. I'll,
Yeah.
I probably get in trouble sending that interstate.
So
though.
What you do is, you don't put a return address on there. And,
okay.
You can ship that on down the bunny trail. Address that to Giorgio Gregoris, right there.
Yeah, my mom's been growing for over 40 years.
How is it?
She grows kind of more of a skunk variety, honestly.
Okay.
She's all about the amount. So, but it's funny. You go see her, you know, she's getting close to 70, and she's like, oh, you got it. My first time, my current wife, and my wife forever.
Yeah.
came, I'm like, oh, we got to go visit my mom. She's out in the Eastern Oregon desert in the boonies. My wife's a city girl, and we drive out there. She's like, where is this? And we get out there, and my mom's like, hey, do you want to see my garden? And Jacqueline, she's like, yeah, yeah, I'll go. And mom goes, and these are, my wife's like,
all
what?
Weed, yeah.
Yeah, she's like showing her plants.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's my mom.
That's great. That's great. So what was your drug of choice? Were you doing blow?
No, I never got into hard drugs. Mushrooms.
Okay.
I actually grew and sold mushrooms for actually the latter half of college and kind of the first start of my for a while.
Yeah, my co-host isn't here today. He's partying with his girlfriend in Vegas for her birthday. But he's big into mushrooms. Loves,
yeah.
loves the mushrooms.
I haven't done them since then. I
haven't done them in a long time,
yeah.
man. I with kids and shit, like it's hard.
I don't want to be, so exactly. I don't ever want to be outside of ability to control and something happens and I
Same,
can't. Like
man.
You can't. So like I said, even if on the rare occasion I'm like, oh, you know, something... You know, a little bit of weed sounds good. It's, I don't get stoned. I don't like, if I drink, which is, I might go 6 months without drinking. And then I might have a few weeks where I have, you know, a couple nights a week where I have a glass or two with my wife. And that's the extent of it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't have the need for that
no.
in my life.
And hard
but
drugs.
With kids.
Yeah. With hard drugs around kids. Whenever I see people doing hard drugs and they have kids, I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
No.
Yeah. With my co's, it's fine. He's fucking single and no kids and doesn't have a fucking life. So
yeah,
he's good.
But, yeah.
His life is his dog.
Yeah.
So he can
kids. No.
He can do mushrooms and stare at his fucking dogs all night. Nobody gives a shit. With kids though, it's weird. Where you're like, oh man.
Yeah, I never touched our drugs. So
yeah. I didn't know with a guy like you who was bodybuilding like this if you were just like, let's do some fucking booger sugar, get loose, you know? Because a bunch of those guys did.
It can be interesting. It's there's some that do. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Because those drug competitions you were talking about, they're probably testing for everything, right? You couldn't just do a fat line of coke and then.
I never researched that because it was not applicable to me. But I'm pretty sure that like weed was not a. Was not a tested substance. They were looking for poor performance.
Well, that doesn't enhance.
It doesn't exactly. They were looking for PEDs, right?
Yeah.
Performance enhancing. So, which is why they alcohol is tested because it is a performance enhancer.
Is it really?
This is an interesting discussion. You want to have it?
I will have it with you right now because I tried it once. Somebody had said that to me. So in a high school, yeah.
Whiskey and deadlifts, baby.
There it is, whiskey and deadlifts. I tried it once for before a high school game. Because somebody had said that to me.
Game, no.
No.
No. So
it was
bad call.
I played fine, but I was like, I'll never do that again.
So I actually wrote an article about this called Whiskey and Deadlifts. Like when I launched my brand, it was 6 years ago now. Covering the science behind it.
Yeah.
And there's actually a lot more. I need to do an updated piece actually walking through the brain function and neurotransmitters and how this stuff actually happens. But in a very near term effect, so like in a 3 to 5 minute range, a very small dose, and it depends on the person, you know, between a half ounce to, you know, 2 ounces of alcohol will significantly enhance performance.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Well, let me walk you through an analogy first.
Okay.
So we are married now, but there was a day, you're younger, you're college, and you're at a bar.
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and
kidding.
You're sitting there, and there's this hot number across the way, right? And you're like, fuck, I need to go over there and say something. But you're like, man, maybe that's outside of my range. What if she says no, or he says no, or whatever, they say no.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Never happened, my man. I went right up. I went okay. Right up. If I saw bombs over Baghdad out there, some big naturals.
Good man.
Boom, dude.
But this is a pretty common scenario, so I'm telling it to the listeners and not you.
Yeah,
You're a rock star. You're freaking alpha, no, man. No, you're
I'm married. I've been married for 10 years at this point.
So, let me tell this. So,
yeah.
So, but when that happens, you know, you sit there and what's the response? Hey, have a shot of liquid courage. And if you do, kind of like those second guessing, like yourself kind of drops away, your inhibition falls a little bit, your confidence boosts up, and whatever mood you're in, like enhances a little bit, and you walk over and you have a conversation, you actually perform better. You're a little bit more eloquent and a little bit more charismatic than normal.
Yeah.
Now, if you have 5 or 6 drinks and then go over, you make a fucking ass of yourself and stumble over yourself. So it's all about timing and amount. That's why I want to be clear. Like, getting drunk is not the deal. And actually, alcohol, so performance enhancing, I mean, just very short term in a neurological and brain state has an effect. It increases cortisol levels. It reduces testosterone. It reduces recovery. Like, it does all those negative things, right? But short term, there's some things that happen with dopamine, GABA, some things on that neurotransmitter level that actually make that what we just talked about happen. So it takes that, you know, it's a change in the prefrontal cortex, and it changes the implications of you quit being worried about like what's going to happen in the future. So this is why, you know, people that are predisposed to being angry and fighting are angry drunks, right?
Right.
Drinking doesn't make you a dick. Being a dick makes you a dick, and alcohol just lets that come out. But it makes you less concerned about the ramifications and more in the moment, especially with a dopamine hit, right? And even though it's a depressant, it actually elicits whatever mood you're in, which when you're lifting is usually heightened or stimulated with ripped fuel?
Ripped fuel, yeah.
Ripped fuel, right?
Rippers.
Yeah, so it enhances your rippers. And in fact, from an energy source, it is 7 calories per gram. So it's almost as dense as fat as far as an energy source, and it's preferential. It moves ahead of carbohydrates, proteins, fats, and even ketones. So it hits you really hard, which then it does that same stuff. And it spikes your blood pressure, which makes the weights feel less as well, reduces pain sensation. And so all this translates into you can lift more.
Yeah.
And I measure it. So I'm a data nerd, if you hadn't figured that out. But like, I measure everything.
Yeah.
And so I measure bar speed, velocity, force output on every lift. So I've tested this over and over and over. And it equates to about a 10% increase. It's pretty phenomenal.
Have you done it, Delco Dan? Have you drank and fucking lifted?
No.
Not once.
College maybe, but so not, it works. Not regularly.
So,
you
know? But understand, it's not drinking. It's having
it's a little taste.
A shot or two like 3 to 5 minutes before. I'd recommend just a shot for most people to start with. And I branded it whiskey and deadlifts because you want something that doesn't come back. So like a bourbon is really good. Like an Irish whiskey, like you're doing, you may not want with the peaty, you know, kind of stuff or anything that's going to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
But it will do that. It's crazy, but it works for about 9 out of 10 people. So the history on this is that the very first failures in the Olympics for drug testing when they did it back in the 60s was for alcohol.
No shit.
And the biathlon used to be heavily, that's the one where they ski and then shoot, right?
Yeah.
Because this actually significantly enhances your shooting ability, the calming of the nerve. So they actually have studies, 9 out of 10 people, alcohol is a performance enhancer for that.
No shit.
But they would be literally stumbling drunk coming off of the skis, going to the shooting. And then back in the 1906 Olympics, there was arguably the, what they say is the hardest marathon that was ever.
It'd be the 1904 Olympics in St. Louis, Missouri, which is where I'm from.
Did you know that or you look it up?
No, I know. I'm from St. Louis. It was a fucking nightmare Olympics. Okay. And the marathon was one of the big parts of it.
And you were what? You were 8, right?
Do you know the story about the guy that won it?
Yeah, he cheated. He got in a car.
Oh, well, now that changes the story. My understanding...
was there a car in 1904?
This is, one guy cheated.
This guy had given up, and they revived him with brandy and strychnine, and he got back up, and he ran and won.
No shit.
Yeah.
Bob, why do you know so much about St. Louis?
The classic... This is crazy. I didn't like he actually knows this stuff. And then if you go back to the ancient Greece times, like it was pretty common if you read the text, seeing the involvement of wine and other stuff during the course of the Olympics. So it's really interesting that people don't know the history on this stuff, but it literally, it can be explained in the brain function as well as physiology. Now, alcohol as a whole is not a performance enhancer over time. So like I recommend, like if you're going to do this, you know, maybe once a month or twice a month or something like that. And if you think that having a shot or two once or twice a month is a health risk, like, fucking lighten up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I've had people like get on my case on this, like, you're supporting alcohol abuse and blah, blah. I'm like, did you read what I said? Like, come on.
When you were doing blasting out the, can you pull up the YouTube footage, Bob? When you were blasting this out, were you drinking during this?
Which one we got here?
The deadlift video.
The 675 for 20. Let's
see that.
Let's pull this up, man.
That look.
That look. And then you pulled 10 regular right after that.
Yeah, yeah. Right after. I think I was. No, I threw up after that, too. I was like a little bit fatigued.
Yeah, let's see this.
Traditional is almost more impressive.
Top down. There we go.
This is 675 pounds, which is a pretty decent amount.
God damn it. You're an animal. Look at that. You look like you're ready to murder someone.
This was just a random. I woke up and I had this dream that I had deadlifted 675 pounds for 20 reps in sumo, and then I'd gone right back around and deadlifted it for 20 conventional. And it was like 5 a.m. I call my media guy and I told him, I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm like, you meet me at the gym. And he jumped in his car to meet me. My son was with me. And
how many people are watching you do this right now?
It was like it was my son and the film guy. This was early in the morning.
Oh,
before
shit. Okay.
We had staff meeting first thing that morning, and so I had the dream, and I'm like, I got to go do it. Let's go do it.
Barefoot,
oh, yeah.
Too. No shit.
All my big lifts have all done barefoot. It's to enhance performance.
No shit. Look at that, dude. God damn it.
Look how fast. Like the force output on this is just insane.
Delco Dan has never been
impressed.
You
see the bars actually swinging, the swinging up at the top. It's moving so fast.
Jesus Christ.
I challenge anybody in the world to do this.
How many times you have to do this?
20 in like just about 30 seconds, I think. It might have been a little bit longer because I slowed down there at the end. Boom.
Yeah, and then you tell everybody to fuck off. That's awesome.
I get a little intense. Oh, yeah. And, you know, people are like, oh, your sumo is too conventional. You can't even lift that. You can't even pick up the bar. You can't even 500 pounds. Head everybody off. Yeah, but I was pretty tired. I probably could have done 20 conventional, but I was just so freaking fatigued. Conventional is really fast. Something like that I would not use out. Because it would hit your system and then across the throat, like a bigger, heavy single, something like that. So, in fact, I was, I say a shot or two, but sometimes it might be a little bit more on occasion. When I did my 1,000-pound deadlift for almost 3 reps, and I did my 1,000-pound squat for 3 reps.
Is that on here right now? Is that on YouTube?
No, come on.
They're on there. They might be longer videos, so you might want to have them find them and then kind of fast forward or something.
Speaking of which, how much do you weigh right now? Because I don't think people realize the only other person to deadlift 1,000 pounds is Thorgan Bronson, who is a massive
human being. That at 460 pounds, I think.
Didn't Eddie Hall do it too, by the way?
So 1,000 pounds, there's about 5 people that have done it, and they all weigh between 380 to 440.
Yeah, they're fucking huge.
Yeah, and then the 1,000-pound squats, there's about 5 or 6 people that have done that as well. And again, they all weigh about 360 plus.
Who do you have in their upcoming boxing match, the Eddie Hall versus
Thorgan? Yeah, are you amped to watch that?
I'm going to be there.
No shit.
Oh, yeah, I'm going. Yeah, no. I mean, let's, like... Thor uses my stuff, by the way.
Yeah. Everybody uses
So anyway, all my people are going to be there. Like, I'm going to be there. Yeah, 100%. I got Thor. Like, Eddie is
Thor.
Flat.
Okay.
Eddie's flat crazy. So he's got the mental side of it, right? But Thor's training, like, he's being very intelligent. He's got coaching going the right, like, he's going after this. He's lost so much weight and is really working on his athleticism. So, if it wasn't a year prep time like it has been,
yeah,
it'd have been Eddie all the way. No question.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Eddie's not doing the focused, like getting, like Thor's doing a lot of prep. I mean, he's 100% focused on like everything he's doing. It's towards this right now.
I wonder if there's odds on mybookie.com here. Let's see. Cause I'd be curious if we could bet this in advance, it'd be great.
But yeah. So my weight, when I did the deadlift, I was 262 pounds. When I did the squat, I was about 280. And right now, I'm about 235. So I've dropped a lot of weight this last year.
Damn, dude. How tall are you?
5'10 and a half.
Okay. That's very specific. Who's 5'10 says.
Yeah. Well, I try to be very specific because there's literally Facebook like threads of like hundreds of comments, people arguing about whether I'm 5'4 or 5'7. Because they see videos like my deadlift, and they see how clean it is, and so it looks like the bar's not traveling, and they want an excuse like for like why I lift so much, and it's like they constantly get to this opinion that it's because he's a small man, like that's that's it. And I'm like, no, I'm very average. Like, I'm average height to the T. I'm average wingspan to length to height, which is called an ape index.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 100% like average.
There is no lines up yet for this Eddie Hall fight versus Thor, but you can bet your sweet ass I'm gonna bet it.
By the way, that marathon, strychnine,
yeah,
and brandy.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. With some egg whites mixed in.
Oh, I did not know that.
Why the egg whites?
I have no idea.
It's 1904, man.
mixing up a cocktail, one of my favorite, whiskey and sour with a proper... It was a design. It was like probably handed to him in a martini glass, you know?
People from St. Louis know everything about St. Louis. They fucking worship that
city. I'm blown away that you knew this. Yes. Like,
and
so
he was losing the marathon and was like, fuck, like he took it, but was like, fuck. And then they found out that the other guy got disqualified because he rode in a car for 11 miles. And
I'm really happy it wasn't him, because that would have destroyed my story. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that wasn't it, or so I would know that.
The second place guy who did win, he was the one all jacked up on strychnine and brandy.
Strychnine and brandy.
Fucking St. Louis, dude. You listen to Nelly on the way home? You and fucking...
You can find me in St. Louis.
Oh, God.
Where they gonna play?
So
amazing.
So as it relates to drinking though?
Yeah.
Right there in front of you, I brought you a gift.
Did you really? What do you got here?
Drink hack
here. For a better tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are these? Pills? Capsules?
Capsules.
So it says take one before 0 to 60 minutes before your first drink. Too late there.
You can have it now.
No, I know.
And
then one capsule within 0 to 60 minutes after your last drink. So, is this your company, Build Fast Formula?
Yes, it is.
That's dope, too.
So, well, the thing is, like, people get so, like, your health, you can't drink, you can't. And I'm like, you know what? You're going to have a drink or two here or there. Like, relax, enjoy life.
Yeah.
But drinking, like I said, has a lot of negative stuff that comes with it. So how alcohol is negative is it processes into acetaldehyde. So acetaldehyde is the chemical that actually causes both the liver damage, which mm-hmm. we all know about, but more importantly is the long-term metabolic damage that happens as well, which is pretty significant, and people don't realize that as it's associated to alcohol. So the product in there helps eliminate the acetaldehyde. So essentially, so all the other,
spoon you right now. I'm going to take this shit live on air too.
Go for it. Report back tomorrow, man.
I will
have a couple drinks today and see how you would feel. I guarantee, like,
yeah. Well, I just started drinking with you now, so we're good. You take one before and then one after.
Yeah, one at the end. Yeah. So so this works because all the other alcohol stuff is focused on liver. So it's improving, you know, it's helping with liver function, right? Where this is actually targeting the acetaldehyde, so it never has to pass, so it helps eliminate that. You can think of it like an enzyme action. And so I just posted the research piece on my Instagram with all the research citations on it. And it's documented. And also you can look up, I think I posted some of the research on the metabolic damage and stuff like that from alcohol. Mm-hmm. But this will make a significant, so it's also the component that makes you feel the hangover. But I want to be real distinct. If you abuse alcohol, don't buy my shit. Like, fucking fix your problem, okay? Like, this is meant for responsible drinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but like, anytime I'm gonna have some alcohol, if I'm gonna have a couple drinks, like, why? Like, for the cost of less than a drink, why would I not like mitigate the damage? Why would I not like?
It looks like this is sort of like 7-Eleven, right?
I hope to someday. Yeah.
What is this? What is yeah, that's one what pack that, of this that, run for? Do you buy the box?
It's the box.
Okay.
So I think it comes out to $350 for a serving. So
all right.
Which is, like I said, less than the cost of a drink.
Drink hack. I just took one live on air, so we'll figure it out tomorrow.
Yeah. So
because I'm going out after this for sure.
Okay.
I'm going out hard tonight.
All right.
It's Friday. We usually record the Sunday night show on Fridays, so we can rage all day, obviously. So, yeah, dude, I will definitely let the audience know.
Let me know. So, yeah, you got. I brought you two boxes, so your
co-host,
your staff can have some.
Perfect.
This is like that. Like I said, everything that I do is based on like what I've researched, what I have in my life, and so most of the supplements are built around kind of. Nutrition performance stuff with Build Fast Formula, the things that I do and tie into. But supplementation is kind of like the candy on the top. You got to make sure you got your training right. You got to make sure you have your diet right. And then my supplementation works with that. Just like I was talking about the blend here. Like my protein is an 80-20 blend, which is the same ratio that's in milk. So nature's protein.
Uh-huh.
But it causes that 8-hour, 6-hour window. So one scoop twice a day, because I don't want you to rely on protein powders. Eat your diet, but that covers the gaps if you've got like a long podcast or a bunch of meetings through the day that you miss a meal or they're too far apart. But like, let's stop burning muscle during some of those gaps. So just have a scoop in the morning and one at bed. So they're all fit like a master strategy, which is more around like do your shit right first.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a couple of our products. The other stuff is pretty. It's good stuff.
You're an interesting guy, man. Look, people love you. You've got a massive following on Instagram and all that other shit. Congratulations on the book. Now's the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Ooh, I am going to give... Is this like anybody in your life or figures that people should
anyone,
know?
Anyone? Yeah, it's your personal life.
My personal life. So...
Like, Bob's is obviously going to be from the 1904 marathon runner from St. Louis because he knew him.
Yeah. No, it's my grandfather, actually.
That's why he knows.
Yeah.
That's why he knows all about the car. His grandfather's the one that was in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandfather was the cheater. Like, yeah.
people read my book or, like, hear me talk about it. When they read my book, they'll get a better understanding. And they think about like, you know, my mom putting me through some of that environment and experiences and think about like, wow, that's just kind of poor choices. But my mom taught me about like resilience and perseverance through no matter what life's throwing at you, and taught me significantly about like living life on your terms, being authentic to yourself, and like, you know, creating your own world. And She certainly does have a lot of drinks. I can't call her, I can't call her before noon because it's not comprehensible. But drinking bro of the week is my mom.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers to you, my man. And this red breast is gone. I forgot who brought that, but God bless him. God bless him. The book is out now. Chris Duffin, A Story of Strength and Reinvention, The Eagle and the Dragon, Amazon.
Amazon. Actually, I will give you the first half of this book for free.
Really?
Yes.
Where at?
Go to my personal website. Okay. Chris Duffin. It's like muffin, but with a D.
Yep.
Duffin.com or ChristopherDuffin.com. Sign up for the email list there. I'll send you the first half for free. I'll give you discounts to any one of my companies.
Okay.
And I will put you on a exclusive educational content from each one of these, which we produce a lot of free education on stuff. If you can't tell, that's like a big focus of mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so great resource. You can get the audio version for free there as well. It's not quite for free, you know, because they want you to, they'll give you my book and another book for free, which is, this is a great deal, which is why I bring it up.
Sure.
But you have to sign up for an Audible account when you do that. But that the link for that's on my site as well. So great option. If you want to buy it anywhere, just go to Audible, go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, go to Target.com, go to KabukiStrength.com. If you want a signed copy, got signed hardcovers. And
a lot of people don't realize, even though you have an Audible account and it's free and you get one free book a month, it actually goes to the authors. So, yeah, burn your credit on that.
Burn your credit. Are you reading it? Yeah. What's that?
Are you reading it yourself?
I read it myself.
It's great. Yeah, that's the way it should be.
It should be. My publisher actually tried to talk me out of it.
They always do.
And I'm like, nope. No, I'm going to do it. And I got it done, and they're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I've spoken a little bit.
They're fucking assholes, dude.
Like, no, you need to hire this person to do it. I'm like, it's no.
If they remake Revenge of the Nerds, by the way, can I throw you in the ring for Ogre?
Yeah.
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 Hook me up, man.
Yeah. When you walked in, that's what I thought. Bob, can you pull him up real quick to end the show? Pull up Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. It's one of my favorite old school movies of all time here. Do you know who that is?
It's been a while. You're going to refresh me right here because I'll remember. Yeah. I've definitely seen it a few times, but it's been.
Pop it up on screen, Bob. There it is.
The video there.
I remember.
We can't show the video.
Yes.
We can't show the video, Bob. It's going to get flagged.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and pop the photo up. Pop the photo up, Bob. My God, man. Take Bob out to the woodshed.
Oh, my. Okay.
There you go. There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
I like to think I'm a little better looking, but.
You are. You're better looking, but that you're the dude for that, for sure. For fucking sure. He was in the program, too, which is one of my faves. Just a college team doing steroids. Just.
Oh, yeah.
Guy laying down in the middle of the road, getting driven over. You know,
yep.
Show you had some brass.
Yeah, that's been a while
team.
Since I've. Yeah. A
long time.
Yeah.
Was it Lattimore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yes.
I might even have the wrong guy.
No, it was Lattimore.
But I don't know if it's the same guy is the problem. I've been drinking, so who gives a shit? I always get this shit wrong. Who cares? Either way, Chris, fun fucking show, dude. Check out his book now. And then his Instagram is your Chris Duffin, right?
It's some other avatar. I'm easy to find. Chris Duffin like muffin. Type me, you know, but with a D.
Yeah.
Type me in Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. I got the little blue checky things. It's not hard to figure out. If you type my name in Google in the first like 20 pages, like you're intelligent. You got a fucking phone on your hand. You know, the world, like people like try to overdo this shit. Type it in, figure it out. If you can't, you don't deserve to follow me. I mean, come on, get your shit.
Exactly. And the magic spoon. You passed the test, dude. I'm a fucking huge fan of that shit. I love it. I'm all in. We will promote magic spoon on the show then. For Chris Duffin, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.